My name is Alec Walker. I'll be presenting today with my colleague Marianne Ferretta. I'll let her introduce herself because she's got a really interesting background and can tell you a bit about that. I'm responsible at Esri for managed cloud services and business development for managed cloud services. Today, as we talk about building or deploying apps in the cloud, we're going to use customers that Managed Cloud Services has had experience with to frame how you might, when you're considering deploying apps to the cloud, use some of those same patterns or some of those same indicators that you might see in your organization to do that. So let me let Marianne introduce herself, and then we'll take it from there.
Hello, I'm Marianne Ferretta, and I'm a technical resource for Managed Cloud Services. So I actually do the deployments and engage the customers and figure out how to kind of carry them along the journey toward cloud deployment. My background includes working for a state DOT for 8 years, so I'm pretty well acquainted with the challenges of integrating your data with other constituents and the public and your field workers, and I think we can show you how the cloud can aid with some of those collaborative efforts.
Perfect, thank you. I would welcome you up if you want to move closer. That way, if I ask questions, I can hear your responses, but you feel free to yell them. I'll repeat them for anybody that didn't hear them. Today, as we talk about deploying apps in the cloud, my number one objective is at the end that you feel inspired. If deploying an app to the cloud or you're considering the cloud is something that you're thinking about doing, I hope at the end of the day you realize it's something you can do and perhaps leave feeling a little bit more confident about that. We're going to start with the key takeaways. Basically, I want to start at the end, and then I'm going to tell you about it, and then at the end I'll remind you what hopefully we talked about over the course of the day. So the first thing, first and foremost, is that you can take advantage of the cloud. That it's not hard, it's not impossible, it's actually really easy, and there's a lot of different ways to get there. Secondly, if you're thinking about moving to the cloud, a system of engagement is a really easy, low risk, high reward first step into the cloud deployment. Second thing, WebGIS. We talked a lot about WebGIS over the course of the conference, but WebGIS plus cloud equals success. And that's we'll get more into that. I would feel remiss in my job duties if I didn't at least mention that Esri can help. Regardless of where you are in a cloud adoption journey, if you're at the beginning, near the middle, or at the end. And then the last thing is, through the course of customer examples, I hope you realize that others are doing it. I hope one of my examples resonates with you and you feel like others are doing it just like your organization. Does that sound good? And does it feel like, if it's... All right. Sounds good, okay.
Sounds great to me, Alex.
Thank you. We got two feedback. All right, so the first thing I want to bring up is an excerpt from a report that Vivek Kundra, who was the CIO of the White House at the time, put together. I bring this up because in 2011, the U.S. government implemented a cloud-first technology. But the key part of this phrase I want to highlight, it says to harness the benefits of the cloud. So 5 years ago, they decided that as a government, the United States was going to pursue a cloud-first strategy. But specifically to take advantage of the benefits of the cloud. So what are those benefits? What are the promises of the cloud? We've kind of put together a list. I'd be curious if you feel like those are similar to the benefits that you're after. Rotating from the top, kind of going counterclockwise, the first thing is cost savings. So when cloud first came out, there was a lot of talk about how cheap and inexpensive it could be. That's one of those promises that can be taken advantage of either because you do not have to deploy a fixed infrastructure with fixed capacity and plan for kind of worst case scenario and always have that on hand, or perhaps that just cloud computing, when you're dealing in economies of scale and purchases of that size, it's actually less expensive than doing it yourself. Second one, which we kind of just touched on, is the flexibility and the scalability of the cloud. With the cloud, you have the ability to switch from one size box to another, to go from a capacity of this many cores or this many servers to double or triple or quadruple that for a few hours and then bring it back down after an event has passed. The next one is a bit tricky, increased security. And I think that we can talk about one of the benefits of the cloud from the physical security the cloud brings versus the laptops and local machines that perhaps a lot of your users have their data on today. I see an Apple laptop, I've got my laptop. If you were to lose that, all the data that's associated with that then becomes whoever has got your laptop's data. And that's sometimes not as secure as if it was all in the cloud centrally and you were only accessing it via services or perhaps via virtualized desktops or connections and things like that. Our next benefit is to shorten the time to value. When we're dealing in software as a service, this is really easy. You sign up, you give a credit card, you get a username and password, and you immediately have a complete install of a system. ArcGIS Online is a perfect example of that. But when you're dealing in a larger cloud deployment, you can eliminate, eliminate between air quotes, the procurement / ordering / shipping / configuration process, because with a credit card and a username and a password, you can decide what your infrastructure looks like and sign up for that and have it configured and ready to go in very little time. Shared accountability, this comes in a variety of forms. First of all, if you own your hardware, it's your responsibility. If Amazon or Microsoft or IBM or Rackspace or whomever, if they own your hardware, they have responsibility for that. And you're all of a sudden now have somebody else who's looking out for your infrastructure, not just you by yourself. Obviously, in the software as a service model, they're doing development and they're responsible for bug fixes and break fixes and things like that. And in a platform or a managed services model, which is what managed cloud services does, then you have somebody who's keeping your machines up and running and has a system uptime guarantee. Try before you buy is also, I think, one of the key benefits of the cloud. We're going to talk about this a couple of times, where because you do not have a long-term, perhaps 3-year investment in infrastructure or a year-long contract or a lifetime contract on licensing, you can, for a period of time, experience this before making a commitment to deploy it across your organization more broadly. We're going to talk today about a couple of proofs of concept. One of them, the technology itself. The cloud technology is what they were testing. And the other one are customers of Esri who wanted to expand their adoption of the platform and took pieces of that and have experimented kind of incrementally as they've grown their platform adoption. And then last, but certainly not least, is the cloud gives you access to innovation. With software as a service, releases come when they come and you log in and all of a sudden you have new features. You didn't have to do anything. That's just part of the benefit of that. When you're working in a cloud environment, it's relatively straightforward to spin up a secondary environment with the newest and latest, test your stuff out, and then make that transition. That capacity for your staging or your test period is something you can do for a short period of time, and you don't have to keep up and running for a long time. So do those benefits make sense? Are you looking for these benefits yourselves? Have you experienced it? Another kind of, I think, interesting thing, one of my roles within Esri is to keep abreast of developments in terms of technology, specifically related to the cloud. Last year, I got on this webinar with Gartner. I think a lot of us appreciate and admire Gartner for the work that they do. You'll notice at the bottom, this was their key strategic trends of 2015. And at the end, near the very end of the webinar, David Surley, he said, many of you may have noticed that we didn't mention anything about cloud this year and may be wondering why. And he basically said, it's because we don't consider a cloud a strategic trend anymore. It's mainstream and everybody's doing it. And so this is something that they're no longer thinking about as something you need to get in on early, but they basically are expecting that organizations are doing it today and are taking advantage of it today. So let's just take a pause real fast, because I've got a question. We've got a handful of you here. How are your organizations doing? How many of you are currently using ArcGIS platform in the cloud? So a handful of how many of you, how many of you are doing it through ArcGIS Online? And how many of you are using server in the cloud? One still, two? So a handful. And what is your goal if you aren't doing it? What's your goal for getting out of this session? What are you hoping to get out of the session? Anybody willing to admit what they came here to hear? It's air conditioned, it's dark, it's on the shady side of the building. Anybody? I'm going to start picking on people. We'll go A side, B side, and go ahead.
We're just planning on establishing an ArcGIS platform by ourselves just to get information.
Perfect. So you're thinking of, do you already have the platform? Or is this a, okay, so you're using the platform, you're just thinking about moving that to the cloud. Okay? I've got a head. Is that same for you? Anybody else that resonate? We have the platform. I think another person in the back. Anybody not using the platform right now and are curious if the cloud can help you adopt the platform? What? Okay, perfect. I have an example for you. Don't worry. It's perfect. Anybody thinking about an application in particular that you're thinking of moving to the cloud? Maybe, all right, another example. All right, well, let's move on. We've got people all over the place, not just physically, but literally in our cloud adoption journey. I want to tell you a little bit about the Bureau of Land Management. I hear by a couple of accents, we're not all from the United States. It's an international users conference. The Bureau of Land Management is a U.S. federal agency responsible for federal lands, most of which lie west of the Mississippi River. So we're in BLM territory over here. If you're familiar with the U.S. geography, you can see by where their regional offices are located that it really is a western-focused organization. They're responsible for the whole United States, but mostly in the western parts. Over time, the BLM regional offices have developed into regional data centers and regional GIS practices. And about 18 months ago, maybe 15 months ago, they came to us and said, we're interested in doing a consolidation effort. We're not sure how to go from where we are today with distributed services into a shared services model. And we're curious how the cloud could help us accomplish this. And so this was their dilemma. They knew where they wanted to go, but they didn't know how to go from point A to point C or D or F, however many steps it was going to take. Esri sat down with them over the course of a few days. We did what we call a cloud readiness assessment and a system architecture and design and said, here's where you are today. Here's the effort it's going to take. Here's our recommended path forward. And this is where you'll end up. And they said, that sounds great, but we're not convinced that that's going to work for us. Can we experiment a bit before we get there? And in August of last year through October of last year, we virtualized the entire New Mexico office. So one office, we took all of their toys and machines away and said, now you can only use this in the cloud. And a couple of key workflows and a couple of key data sets that were shared across the, well, that were common across the regional offices and said, now we're going to use this shared service. And the technology that they were most anxious about was their desktops in the cloud to actually be using and doing desktop editing and whatnot in the cloud. And so for 3 months, they were able to take their benchmarks at the beginning of the experiment or the proof of concept and then measure and test the different situations over the course of 3 months and put together an extensive report. It's almost 90 pages long, the report that they put together. But that has given them the experiences and the information that they wanted in order to decide what their plan of action is for going forward. At the end of the day, they feel like the cloud is the right move, and how they go about doing that, we hope to be a part of, but ultimately we hope that they're successful in their cloud initiative. I have a slide that just basically says, hey, you guys, like BLM, can take advantage of the cloud. That's point number one. If we go back to our key takeaways, you can take advantage of the cloud. And we're going to shift gears real quick. The next thing I want to talk about are patterns, deployment patterns. Have any of you seen this graphic? Have you been in a presentation this week to see our location patterns? One, two. Well, you guys cheat. If you have a red badge, you don't count. I mean, you do.
Oh.
But
that makes me feel bad.
Yeah. Okay. So these are what we talk about as our location deployment patterns. We've got location enablement, constituent engagement. We'll also include employee engagement or customer engagement in that. Decision support. So how do we make decisions using location information? Analysis of spatial data. Field mobility, so how do we help people do their job better when they're out in the field? And then last but not least is location data management. And these are all, if we were to break down what Esri does, we think that we can classify our platform into these kind of key patterns of support. And if you don't recognize stuff that you're doing in this, I have a slide in just a minute that should help. But I think what's interesting is that we can break this down further or simplify it further into two groupings. The three on the right-hand side are what we would describe as systems of record. So these are systems that contain the information that are critical or central to our business. It is the de facto data source, authoritative data, and often things are built on top of those as a way to consume. On the left-hand side, these are systems of engagement, so outreach, type things that are facing outwards that people can use data from a system of record and do something with it, make a decision based on that. As Esri has taken a look at the customers that they support through managed cloud services, we've actually seen a pretty significant split in terms of initial cloud deployment. So some of us are looking to determine if we move to the cloud. Some of us are trying to figure out how to go, like the Bureau of Land Management, how do we actually start moving to the cloud? But 4 out of 5 times, the first system which a customer, an organization, or users deploy to the cloud are the systems of engagement. These are often projects that have been on somebody's back burner or maybe even somebody's pet project, something that people have wanted to do for a long time. And rather than make a large investment in infrastructure to support the project, they say, why don't we put this up in the cloud? Because if it doesn't work, we can always take it down. But if it does work, that's great. And so, like I said, this is 80% of the time it's been a system of record. If you're reading, there's a system of insight in there, which actually is a recommended action based on some information that's being provided. So if you go 4 out of 5 times, it's a system of engagement. 15% of the time, it's a system of insight. So not only is it some information, but there's a recommended action based on that. Do this, don't do this. Change this or change that, and then the results of that. That's what a system of insight does. And then we talked about a system of record. What we're actually seeing more recently is our longer-serving customers making a shift from system of engagement to system of record. They're growing more comfortable with their data being in the cloud, and now they're saying, okay, that application's great. Can we move this application? Can we move this system? Can we take this data set and move that into the cloud? Let's spend a couple minutes, maybe not a couple minutes, let's spend a little bit of time talking about what these things mean for you. So here we're going to populate some of these, and hopefully you recognize some of the things that you're doing. So an example in decision support is to help drive operational awareness. So this is what's going on. These are where our people are. This is what they're doing. This is what they're tasked with, operational awareness. Or this is where we have a fire, and this is the status of the fire, operational awareness. As we fill in some of these other things, and again, hopefully you see something that resonates with you, something your organization does or is talking about doing in these examples. These are, like I said, common applications or common first steps into the cloud. Anybody have anything that they see in here? They go, oh yeah, we've got one of those. We definitely do that on the system of engagement side. No, this is, oh, we got a little bit of a nod. Okay. On the other side, the systems of record, we'll just pop those suckers in real quick. That's some of those other systems. And hopefully, now everybody recognizes something that they're working on, something that they're engaged with on a day-to-day basis. And what you might notice is that the right side you recognize immediately because that's what you're doing, and the left side is the stuff you get asked about. When can we do this? Can you give me some of that? Can you help me do this? And then you start to understand why oftentimes those are the first things that get done in the cloud as a net new project or a net new initiative. Any questions, any comments, any objections to this premise that I'm selling up here or talking about up here? No? Yes? Okay. Let me give you a couple of examples. The first one I can talk about really quickly. Who is here for plenary? I just want to see a raise of hands so I know people are listening. Plenary. Okay, so we had 50% during the main stage. So for those of you that were here, forgive me for repeating really quickly. The City of New Orleans has an application that they released in order to engage their citizenry to better actually engage their workforce, to target where the work needed to be done in a way that made a little bit more sense than just them going out and looking for it. Over the course of a couple of months, I understand, they drove every single street in New Orleans. Every single street they drove with a little camera that took pictures of the houses, well, just filmed as they went along. And then running through some algorithms, they were able to break down these things into parcels. And now we have pictures. The image is actually comes straight out of the application itself. They're using this to survey their property and to crowdsource information. So a system of engagement is what we're talking about. This would be something that Managed Cloud Services is hosting, but this is also kind of New Orleans' step into the cloud, an application that they didn't have before, where they can do outreach to this to their community as a result of these surveys, which were submitted in since Monday when things were announced to today. We've had over 10,000 of these surveys completed. So we'll give a little hand to everybody who took a chance to look at this or took a few minutes to fill out a survey. But it's a relatively straightforward survey. Is there a property or is there a structure on this? Are things overgrown? What does the roof look like? Is it in good order? Are the windows broken? It's like a 5-question thing. It takes 10 seconds to fill out, and you can move on to the next one, or you can be done. But the city of New Orleans, they're hoping through this application, they can go ahead and survey every single land, every single parcel that they've got, and determine where they need to pay more attention, where they need to assign efforts in order to help keep things up and running and clean. So that's an example of a system of engagement or an application that would fit system of engagement that has been deployed in the cloud. Our next example, this is the census. That's common across the world. Everybody does a census. The U.S. Census Bureau realized that they were sitting on a bunch of really interesting data. On the one hand, they had the census data, which gets collected every 10 years. And on the other hand, they have a group of TIGER services, and you'll notice it's capitalized. I tried to memorize what it stands for, but effectively it is all of their data with location attached to it. So they've gone ahead and geocoded all of their locations. So not only were they able to go out and collect information that I'm so many years old, I'm the head of household, I'm married, I've got 5 kids, their ages are so-and-so, and this is my occupation, which is part of what the census does, but now they also have a way to lay on top of that location information and represent that through maps. And they decided that they've got this really good information that are being used internally for different initiatives, but they wanted a way to turn that around and provide value to the constituency. And so they created this small business builder application, and in a nutshell, any of us, if we wanted to, or you're thinking about opening up a daycare or a bar or a small business, you can go to this website, you can plug in key demographic pieces of information, such as income, average income, disposable income, amount spent on food, out, you want age ranges, you want average number of children, whatever your criteria are, you can plug into this and then run an analysis, and it will pick locations that suit that to help you determine how suitable a site is for your business. So, do you want to open a bar in downtown San Diego? Well, there's high tourism, there's low population, the disposable income tends to be greater than otherwise. This is a great place to put a new bar if you can find the space. But that's what the application does. Again, information that they already had, we're not touching their system of record. That's census data which sits outside of the application. We're just consuming some of that. We're not altering it. Nobody's able to do anything with it other than to select a few key inputs and then determine whether or not where they are looking at putting a business is a good place for a business, or if there's a better, more properly suited place for that. Does that make sense? System of engagement. And then one last example on this before we move on to the next section. The American Red Cross, this is a disaster relief effort. And what they've got is an application that they use for their volunteer respondents. Now, Red Cross is a great organization, but they deal with people who may be responding for the first time in a volunteer fashion, and they need to figure out how to train and make sure that everybody's on board and doing the right thing or doing the same thing when it comes to responding to whatever's going on. And so they built this application, which does a couple of things. Number one, it provides them a way to train and normalize, that's not the right word that I'm looking for, people's behavior. It gives them a list of things that they need to do so that everybody's doing the same thing. And then centrally, from an operational standpoint, it also gives them a view into where things are happening and who's doing what. So this kind of bleeds the two things together, but the mobile application, the piece that's being used out in the field, is certainly what we would describe as a system of engagement. And then what they do with the data when it comes back in, and that might be more operational awareness or decision support type thing. This application is used in disaster response, but it was something that they didn't have beforehand. The cloud is great, and I'm just going to plug the cloud for a second, because this allows them to scale depending on the severity of the response necessary. So if it's small, their environment can remain small, but if we have a very large disaster with a number of users, a greater number of users, that environment can scale to meet that need. So not only did it give them a safe and easy place to do it as a, we want to try and see if this works, but also gave them an environment that will scale to meet the needs of the disaster itself. All right, I'm going to stop talking for a second. I'm going to turn the mic over to Marianne. We're going to talk WebGIS for a couple minutes.
Okay, thank you, Alec. So we get the question really frequently. So I've learned all this stuff about WebGIS, and it's a little bit new of a concept to me. I've been using server GIS for a long time. Can I put that in the cloud? And we hear that a lot, and the answer is a resounding yes. I work for the managed services team, as I mentioned earlier, and I've seen every configuration you can imagine of the entire WebGIS platform put into the cloud. So you can have your federated server and your portal, your data store, your spatiotemporal data store, your field collector services, the whole enchilada can be put into the cloud. And the value, as Alec has mentioned earlier, is the scalability, and also I like to say the accessibility. There's often a challenge in all of our organizations when we try and share things, right? I was talking to some folks from a state that shall not be named, right? I didn't get their permission to talk about it, right? But they were really excited about WebGIS and about sharing collaboratively, but they're stuck in this scenario where they represent multiple agencies simultaneously. And we all know what that means, right? You have multiple agencies' ITs to deal with, and they have different policies and procedures about security, about accessibility. Sometimes procurement is a challenge. You can't just snap your fingers and get another server if you need to stand up a few more web apps, right? So these are challenges that every organization faces. And as Alec was saying earlier, if you just want a proof of concept, if you just want to see if this is going to work for you and see if this is a good fit, you don't want to go through all of that necessarily just to see how it's going to work for you. So in the cloud environment, we have a lot of agility and flexibility to change the level of resources depending on the needs. So we've found a lot of success with a variety of agencies and state entities, private institutions, as they kind of test the waters in the cloud environment and in some cases put their entire GIS into the cloud.
Do you want to talk about the next one?
Sure. So this slide is describing a few of those different permutations. We do see some people that say, hey, I'd like to put my entire GIS, which is very mature, into the cloud. But more commonly, we see people wanting to kind of iterate through the steps, right? So on the left-hand side, we have an example that we see pretty frequently where everything is in ArcGIS online. We don't have a whole lot internally, but we're taking advantage of hosted services and hosted data, and that's very effective for a lot of people. But once they get into it, sometimes you want to start integrating that with your internal systems, or perhaps you want to use some of the custom widgets with Web App Builder and things like that. So you might move on down the spectrum of integration and start to put those two things together. We have some scenarios where the external portal might, or the cloud-based services and interface might be consuming services and information directly from on-premise inside. So there are a number of different ways that you can configure this. There's really very little limitation on the technology, which gives you the flexibility to move forward with the cloud at your speed and with the rate at which you get buy-in from your executive leadership, or as you start to identify new consumers for what you're offering.
Perfect.
Thanks.
I'm going to give a couple of examples of how WebGIS, how the cloud has helped enable WebGIS for a few organizations. The first one is the Forest Service. Again, this is a federal agency. You'll never guess what they're responsible for. The forest, yeah. And actually, Forest Service was on stage as well. They wore their uniforms, and they've obviously matured a lot in their adoption of WebGIS. One of the things that frustrated them, and an application that they then developed to help curb this frustration, had to do with the rangers and kind of their everyday mundane requests, which were going into their GIS analysts. So they had a limited or a fixed budget and a limited audience that was fulfilling that. And it would be extremely common for a ranger, let's say one of the state parks, one of the beaches here, that wanted to identify an area that maybe had washed out or a bathroom that was under construction, to be able to put a map up and say, here's the next closest thing. So the ranger or the resource that was local was putting a request into a central queue. That queue was getting worked through, but you guys are GIS professionals. Those are relatively simple and boring tasks to have to do day after day, hour after hour. And they weren't always getting back out to the field in a timely manner to satisfy the need, because the bathroom could have been fixed and put back together before the map actually got out to the field. And so they built an application that actually allows the forest rangers themselves to search for an area, select it, and then print a map on demand along with some annotations, so that they took a task that was centralized and handled through a desktop GIS, and then now it was done through an application on the web, which not only increased the audience, but increased the user base. And most importantly, I guess this would be the value statement, is that those analysts now were able to do higher value tasks and analysis rather than generating trail maps and temporary maps to satisfy the rangers themselves. And everybody wins, because they get to use it and do it more often themselves. All right, one more example on this WebGIS front. Power company by the name of Avangrid. Europeans may recognize them, because they are a parent company is based out of Europe, and they have do power management there as well. They are responsible for a number of states in the northeastern United States, New York, Maine, being two of the examples that we are responsible for. They engage with their customer base by giving them information with regards to where there are known outages, whether they're planned or unplanned, and what the resolution time is. So you can click on a section of the map and get information about that, or you can report an outage through the outage viewer. These are low usage applications, because most of the time the power works and nobody really is thinking about it. But when they are needed, they are really needed, and when people want to know, they really want to know. And I've got just another slide that shows one of those instances. Along the bottom, you can see satellite imagery of Hurricane Sandy, which blew through the northeastern United States a few years ago. At the top of the slide, you can actually see some of the information about their environment to keep their outage viewer up and going. It's typically a three-server environment, a web tier, a GIS tier, a data tier. That's updated every 5 minutes with new information. And as Hurricane Sandy blew through, their need for server capacity increased kind of in a corresponding manner to the interest that was being expressed. You can see over the course of a week, we had just over 110 million hits on this site for people to go, do my relatives, do I have power? What I think is interesting, it's hard to read, but I'll read it out for you. I can't even read it from here. Hold on, we'll see if this stretches. This bottom right-hand side, I just don't want to knock over the water. Box gives you some information. Yes, I can. It says the number of customers served in this location, wherever it was pointed, is 871,000 people. That's how many customers that Avangrid had at that time in that sector. And the number of customers out at that time was 103,000 people without power. So you can imagine there were a lot of people who were, when am my power going to come back? Or when is my mom okay? Or are my kids okay? Because they were where they were when the storm blew through. So if you're the power company, how much time do you want to dedicate to make sure that your outage viewer is up and running when the storm has hit? Is this your number one priority, or is restoring power your number one priority? And so from a cloud deployment, deploying apps in the cloud, one of those advantages of the cloud is that scalability. And so as the storm blew through and as interest peaked, we were able to scale capacity, or they were able to scale capacity to meet that need. Now, up in the upper right-hand corner, this is kind of the plug for how cloud can be cost-effective, how it can be scalable and flexible. Your typical IT procurement looks like the red kind of staggered. I buy a new server, I have more capacity. I buy another server, I have more capacity. Your usage tends to look like the line, the green line. Sometimes I have enough capacity and I'm right-sized and everything's hunky-dory, and other times my interest is way beneath my capacity and I'm wasting money or I have excess capacity. But the flip side of that is sometimes I have a lot of interest and I don't have the capacity to match that. Now I have frustration because things aren't performing as they should be. So as you're thinking about the cloud, that's one of those things that just to illustrate it. Now here's my extremely cheesy graphic, but this is the take home number two, which was web plus GIS is love. So those things are good together. And I'll get off the slide now because I have people who put slides together for a living and they hate that slide. Okay. One of the things that we talked about at the beginning is where are you guys? What are you guys thinking about doing in terms of the cloud? And it sounded like we have people who aren't using the cloud to people who are doing it. And we've got people all the way across the spectrum. We see this. And we've tried to capture what that journey looks like in a few simple steps. So the first thing is people are doing research and planning. I'm thinking about moving to the cloud. I'm trying to figure out what the cost-benefit analysis, what that might look like, how it's our plan. At the next stage, they often look for some experience with the cloud. They don't necessarily jump whole hog into it. They often kind of dip a toe in and say, did that work? Can we go more? Then you get a migration, which is really it may be a really quick thing or it may be an extended period of time if you're moving a larger system into the cloud, at which point you're able to use the cloud. And then, not uncommon, but people look to outsource that. They say, this is working great, but we don't want to be responsible for it now that it's in the cloud and it's not here and you don't have to have keys to get into the building. Can somebody else manage this for us? And that's a pretty common pattern that we see. To such an extent that Esri has extended services. This is the Esri Can Help Regardless of Where You Are. We've got services that kind of match each of those things. So we have advisory services if you're looking to understand your research or your planning. We do enablement services to help you have those experiences and gather the information that you need in order to make a decision. We help with migration. We will do turnkey environments that let you use your GIS in the cloud. We'll build it for you and hand it to you and say, there you go, good luck with it. And then if you're interested in outsourcing, we also do managed, which we've mentioned a few times. Let me give you a couple of examples of these journeys and how they might play out. I will not lie that I wanted to put this picture up because it's Hawaii and it makes us all feel nice, although we are in San Diego, which is pretty awesome as well. But the state of Hawaii 3 years ago said, we know that we can do better. And we're interested in making that happen. So can you help us by taking off our hands the things that we're done with so we don't have to worry about them anymore? And that sounds a little strange, but they had a number of external customer-facing applications that they considered baked, if you will, completed, ready to go. And so they said, will you take those for us? And we took them for them, and we hosted them. And they took those people that were doing the external-facing applications, and they said, all right, now let's go finish the stuff that we need for our people who control the purse strings, the budget people, and let's get our internal tools baked and ready to go. And so they took those people off one project and moved them onto the other project and baked and worked. And so they were good on the external. Their strength was external-facing applications, and now they're at the point where they go, okay, internally we think we're at the point where we can move this stuff into the cloud. And it's been a really nice path for them. They didn't have to chew off or bite off more than they could chew. They could just take the stuff that they knew worked and move it into an environment where they didn't have to touch it or maintain it themselves and then focus those same resources internally. Does that make sense in terms of how they chose to go on their journey? Let me talk small utility. This is a small utility based in South Carolina. If you've been coming to UC for a while, they were featured on the main stage a few years ago with a video that played. This is Fort Hill Natural Gas Authority, and they've been a customer of ours for a fair period of time. But when they got featured for one reason. They were desktop GIS users and decided that they were going to invest in a platform, but had people who knew desktop but didn't know server and didn't know platform. And so they had asked for some help. Can you, and it was a partner of ours, can you help us get things up and running in the cloud? Because we're interested in enabling our field people to collect data mobily, to know what they want to do or what they're supposed to do, and then be able to report back to that to us without having to fill out a piece of paper and come home and do paperwork. We want them to be field enabled. And so they deployed Collector and a number of other applications, but they kind of just dipped their toe in, right? They started with something that they, again, system of engagement with their field employees that was updating their system of record back home. They continue to do their desktop GIS and generate, you know, the analysis and the work that they were doing there. And now we'll fast forward to this year, and they said, you know what? We love this cloud thing. It's been working great for us. We don't want to administer any of our system anymore. We're to the outsource part of our journey. So the first part was, let's test it. Let's see if the platform works. Rather than invest in a server, invest in all the training, they said, can you do it for us? So we shortened the time to value, or we collectively, the Esri family, if you will. And then they were able to use it for a period of time. And now they're to the outsource, and now they're moving their desktops into the cloud, and they've got their workflows up in the cloud, and their data up in the cloud, and everything's been moved to the cloud. But that was a period of a few years that they did that with a piece of it in the cloud and a piece of it on premises. And so I'm not saying it has to take a long time. It can, as your comfort grows and as your stakeholders understand that better and grow more comfortable with it. That's certainly an option. So time for cueing a graphic again. This is we can help regardless of where you are on your cloud adoption journey. This is initial operating capabilities. It's a pretty, let's get you up and running. And or if you're down past that, if you're further down the road, we can still help. So let's pause there. Those are the big three or four takeaways. I wanted you to make sure that you got those. And then we want to move to the workshop piece of the technical workshop. Any questions, any comments, any? Okay, now I'm just warning you. I'm looking for a volunteer because we want to really take this conceptual client story and really talk about how does that apply to you. So if anybody is brave enough or willing enough to come up here and talk with people, Marianne in particular, we will talk about an application perhaps that you're thinking about moving to the cloud and walk through the methodology as a whole. And if not, we've got one in our back pocket that we can do. But it would be really fun if one of you who are attending are willing to do this.
Should we describe what's entailed here? Before
sure, let me
we,
skip down.
Before
I'll
we
go down to the
bring
next
you
one.
Up.
Go ahead, Mary.
We'll tell you what it actually is. We've identified some patterns in the decision-making process on this journey, right? It can be kind of a challenge, a little bit intimidating in the beginning to try and conceptualize moving your whole GIS to this new paradigm. So we've kind of synthesized that into this readiness survey that we fill out, or a readiness questionnaire, that helps you identify those decision points and kind of evaluate yourself on where you're at. You know, where might you need to spend some more time? Do you need to add more resources to a certain area of your organization? Or maybe you need to spend a little more time on workflows or data remediation or get some more buy-in from your executive leadership. So that's what this questionnaire is for. And the idea is if you're at some stage of considering all of this, we can go through those questions and see where you're at and determine at the end of it where you should focus to continue on your journey and what level of help you may need to get there.
We're not saying it needs to be hard. You may find at the end, we say, you guys are ready to go. Why aren't you in the cloud yet?
Yeah, we had a lot of those this week, actually. We met people at every stage of this journey, and I was impressed with how many people were, yes, 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 we're ready. So that was pretty exciting for me.
All right.
Volunteers?
We've had three people leave now.
People are leaving
in droves.
We've asked
for volunteers. I'm out of here. I don't want to be the volunteer. Anybody?
Going once? going twice.
I think we have no on that.
Yeah, well, I'll be happy to take you through this and just give you kind of a quick synopsis of what this looks like. We've broken it down into several different sections. Thank you. And the top one is organizational readiness. And this is something, as I mentioned earlier, I worked for a state DOT. And I will admit that this is something that I didn't do very well because I'm a technical person and I'm not really savvy in the world of politics. I didn't really understand how budgets work and things like this. And so really I failed to recognize the value of executive leadership. You really have to prove what this stuff is sometimes. And maybe some of you are the executive leadership, in which case I'm so glad you're here. But if you're not, you may find yourself trying to explain why this is so valuable. And one thing that Alec mentioned earlier with the system of engagement and the notion of how do you get started, you get started with something maybe that has a really obvious value. So, for example, the state that I alluded to earlier, they said, gosh, we're really going to have to prove that this is valuable to us. How do you recommend we move forward? And so we decided to consider their snow application that indicates where the big snow loads are and what streets are kind of haven't been paid attention to yet from a plowing perspective to help the public get around this. And they have this application already. It's already working, but in order to scale when there's a disaster or a big blizzard, they have to call someone who has to wake up and then add capacity. So that's a manual process and makes folks a little bit nervous. And so if they can move that to the cloud and say, hey, this is happening automatically. We don't have to pay somebody to get up at 3 a.m. and add capacity. This is going to happen already. And we're going to get alerts when it happens. That's a really kind of a slam dunk for executive leadership, right? It's public facing. It's already a mature product. So it kind of gets their attention and proves like, hey, maybe we can move forward with this. The next section is data management. Data management is a really important issue. I know you all already know that. And we get a lot of questions about putting data in the cloud. Am I making redundant copies of my data? How am I going to manage the data? What about desktop connecting to my enterprise geo database? Can I do that in the cloud? Where does the desktop have to be? You have questions about virtualization, interacting with the data in this cloud environment. So there are a few questions there to try and help you determine how ready you are to do that. Mostly the data stuff depends on how mature it is to a degree. If you have data in lots and lots of different places, and this is true cloud or otherwise, you really do want to clean that up a little bit, make sure you have the stewards of the data identified. Is that moving correctly?
No, we're on the wrong screen.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, everybody. We've been trying to show you this.
Oh, that hasn't been up the whole time? Oh, sorry. You should have said something.
We can't see.
All right. So, and a lot of that data advice is sort of obvious. If you have siloed data, you're already aware that that's an issue. But it is an issue that I would prefer to see we address before moving into the cloud, because the cloud will kind of exacerbate that if you don't plan for it in advance. So after data management.
Oops. Sorry.
Let's back on that.
There we go.
Okay. Thank you. We have logistics and integration, starting with systems integration. And this is something I'm sure you've run into as well. The GIS doesn't really exist in a vacuum, right? It always has these integration points with other things that you have. It might be a customer management system. It might be your employee system. It might be tickets that are issued for work orders to get done. So there's always something that you're integrating with. You're either doing it now or you'd like to move to do it in the future. And those things deserve special consideration when you're trying to determine how to move to the cloud as well. Can these things come with me? How do we integrate the data? Do they consume services from the ArcGIS server API? How can we move forward with those things? With application development, you can have custom applications that you might consider moving into the cloud. If you do that, it's certainly one of the things we see the most, I think, right? When we have custom applications that are developed in-house, but we want the public to see them, and we can't necessarily get the IT group to do that. So we might take advantage of cloud services in that regard. And then our architecture, is that moving?
Yeah.
Okay. For architecture, in managed cloud services, we offer a variety of different platforms. And certainly, you know, we mention managed cloud services because I work for managed cloud services, but the same considerations still apply if you're trying to get into the cloud on your own. Where are you going to put classified data? What type of security protocols do I need to put in place? We have FedRAMP moderate certified solutions that we offer. This is applicable to a lot of our government agencies that have to be very mindful of the security constraints. And then that brings us to the overall assessment, really. Those are the decision points throughout the journey to consider to determine where you're at on this road.
Any, I guess, questions regarding this? Because we didn't see the first part, but she talked to it. You guys want to review back up to the top real fast just so you can see it, the questions that we go through? We didn't want to run through each of the questions. The volunteers, we lost enough with asking for volunteers to go through each of the questions that might have threatened to empty the room. But as we go through this, Aaron, do we have those copies still? Yeah, so if any of you are interested, we've brought paper copies of this, so you can take that. It's something that we were doing during the expo, but the expo closed. So if you're interested, you can take a copy of this. We designed it to be used for an application, but certainly as you scale that out to a more broad deployment, enterprise JS, these are those same considerations that you're going to have to think about and talk about. Our goal wasn't necessarily to make this seem hard, because it's not. Cloud deployment can be really, really easy and really, really fast. But there are some things that make that easier than others, and some things that make that something you want to think about before you make the switch. So we aligned the ideal answers in one column with the, that's going to take a little bit more effort, or that's going to be something that's going to require a lot more effort. And this is built based on our experience helping customers move to the cloud, but there isn't any reason why that's not applicable to you in your organization. So let me switch back over. All right. So I said at the beginning there were going to be a few things that you could take away from this. I hope, as we've talked, these things have been reiterated, sometimes with really cheesy graphics and sometimes with good customer stories. But you could take advantage of the cloud. So as you think about it, there are real benefits to be had there, whether that be cost savings, the benefit of having a partner that's involved because they're providing your infrastructure, you don't have to worry about that anymore, the ability to shorten your time to value, access to innovation. You get new releases. You get the latest and greatest quicker than you would otherwise. These are real benefits, and they're yours in the cloud. If you are thinking about moving to the cloud, but you don't know what to do first, I strongly would recommend looking at those systems of engagement, whether they're existing systems or they're those projects you get asked, can we do this, please? For two reasons. Number one, if they don't exist, then it's really, really low risk and high reward if it gets done. And number two, those are often those projects where we have executive interest, and that's a good way to gain confidence and to gain buy-in for a more broad rollout. If WebGIS is something that you're not doing yet, the cloud will help you do that, not just because it's on the web, but because it really lends itself towards that. We are here to help. That's what we're here for, and we can help you regardless of where you are in this journey to the cloud, whether that be advice all the way out to outsourcing it and having us handle it for you. And through a number of stories, I hope you can see that others are doing it. An organization, perhaps just like yours, is doing it. Now, I've asked for questions a number of times. This is our last official ask for questions. And
look, we have one.
Oh, we do? Yes!
are your managed services all on Amazon, or do you do work on a variety of cloud?
That's a great question. So for the record, literally, the question is, are the managed services only available on Amazon, or do we support other infrastructure providers? And Esri Managed Cloud Services supports Amazon, Microsoft Azure, and IBM as like out of the box, and they have done research on others. Esri as a platform, if you want to do it yourself, you can do it on any provider that you're willing to contract with. And we have customers that use other providers, so you know, there's no reason why it doesn't work on other providers. So, any other questions? We can have questions afterwards where we'll turn the mics off and they won't get recorded.
We have another one.
Yeah.
You mentioned WebGIS being really good from an elasticity perspective, like really harnessing the power of the cloud. Are there any products or components of the Esri family or ecosystem that aren't really designed for cloud, that can't really leverage kind of elasticity and some of those other concepts?
Not that I've encountered. I mean, that's one of the great strengths, really. You know, if you have a sudden spike in your service usage, because it's all service-based, right? You have ArcGIS Server that's offering all of this information through web services, and that's what needs to scale when you have usage accelerating, and that it's perfect. So is there a specific piece of the platform you had in mind that maybe you were concerned wouldn't scale?
You don't have to go through the whole procurement thing before.
No, we arrange that in advance through the whole proposal and contract process. That is addressed directly. So in a scenario where you would be using auto-scaling to spin additional servers, typically we work with customers that have ELAs for that type of condition, but there are lots of other ways to orchestrate that as well.
But
No, you don't need an ELA. And actually our program manager is here, Aaron Ross, as well, who can speak to that in more detail. And we accommodate a wide variety of needs in that regard, I think, too. You know, we work with you to figure out what you need. They're not all rubber stamped, right?
I wonder if it's like average compute time or full hours or something. I know we're constantly evolving.
Any other questions?
Specifically from stage right. We got three questions from stage left. Any questions over here? Oh, another one from that side. You guys are definitely...
I was reading about Qantas Airways. They're moving all of their ticketing and everything to AWS, and they're expecting to save $30 million in 5 years by doing that.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We've seen had report back of more than 60% savings for some of our customers. One of the concerns for managed services does it cost more? It does cost more than just buying a server because somebody's there to manage it for you. But even in that instance, we had a state that reported a 60% savings over their previous unmanaged. They were just buying infrastructure, and then they got managed infrastructure for 40% of the cost. All right, you were going to volunteer to ask a question. Thank you. It's not uncommon. I mean, the story that you're telling is common, and we hear it all the time in terms of education and kind of allaying some of those concerns and helping them understand what that might look like. Yeah.
Yeah, but to me, you know, it seems like a pretty plausible solution.
Yep.
And we support a number of counties, too, so I think you're right.
Well, thank you. For those who are left, if you wouldn't mind taking a few minutes to complete the survey, I get feedback. If you've got the mobile app downloaded, you can do it at the bottom. And any feedback, you can come give it to me directly, it's fine. But if you'd rather just submit in the survey, that'd be fine too. So thank you. Enjoy the party if you've got a purple wristband. Good day.
Thank you.